To just take a break today anyway from our Genesis project of trying to understand God's creation and what it means to us and all the way through the book of Genesis. Because, you know, within the Old Testament, there are certain times of the year that are particularly focused on. And we happen to be in the middle of a certain group of holiday, a certain holiday called the Feast of Tabernacles. Is that right? Am I on the right date? I kind of get those confused, but the dates and all when they are. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what it means to tabernacle with God. What does it mean? What are we talking about? A little tent here on a mountaintop and good bright light inside of it, shining light inside. That's Michelle's tent. I know she loved to do that and be up on that mountaintop and camping out. But as you think about it, what does it mean? Just what does it mean to be in perfect relationship, in perfect harmony, in connection, to have our tent set up and God be in it? Does that be a wonderful time? That'd be a glorious time. In fact, Revelation 21, which is our text for today, gives us just a preview of what that time will be in the future, and we're going to talk a little bit about that time now. But I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God." The longing from day one of the creation of this earth has been to have that intimate, personal connection with God. And, of course, as you will remember in Genesis, one of the things that happened when Eve decided to follow another way and Adam followed with her is that we lost Adam and Eve. They walked in the cool of the garden, didn't they? Adam and God, and I'm sure Eve was there too, but they walked in the cool of the day in the garden. And that must have been a beautiful time. I don't know, you get the heat of the day and then you kind of the sun sets a little bit and then just that nice walk with God. And Enoch, he walked with God too. He walked with God and then it says he did not see death as a result of that. Abraham was a friend of God. Do you like to walk with your friends? Do you have that chance sometimes to walk with a friend and just enjoy their company and enjoy the time with them? Moses talked face to face with God. Now, we're not sure how that worked because it says in there that God said, "Well, I want to see you. I want to see you right up front." He talked face to face, and that's person to person, I think, is what it means. But no man can see God and live because our sinfulness, because of our unrighteousness, because of the things that we have done wrong, no man can be in the presence of God. And yet our desire is to be with God. Human beings, the interesting thing is from the earliest of times up until today, there's always that searching for something higher, searching for that ultimate or that higher reality. And it went from false gods and all kinds of stuff like that to where today there's that kind of a nirvana, spiritual sense. Of course, I don't know that I put much confidence in it. But at any rate, there's always been that desire to go to someone higher. You know, all people, you know, I like a wise person and I like to talk to wise people and that's fun. But you always want, there's always that hunger for something deeper, something higher, something that is the reality beyond this reality. The sense of some final authority, some almighty authority. Someone that has the answers. My wife would often say, well, I just want to sometime go up to God and ask him whenever we get to the kingdom, ask him this question or that. Do you ever have those questions you just like to get answered? I don't know. Why, God, why did you do this? Or why is this way? And at that time, all the answers will come. All the uncertainties that we currently have, the doubts, the fears, the anxiousness. And so to tabernacle with God is one of the greatest things that we can do. Finally, Moses, and it's interesting, this is kind of a play on words, but Moses, he built a tabernacle, didn't he? God said, I want you to build a tabernacle, a place where people can meet with me. And within the tabernacle, there was many things there, but in the very heart of the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, was the place where God's glory would settle down. And it's interesting because it settles down on some kind of seat. What kind of seat is it? The mercy seat. And whenever they would have certain festivals and all that, the high priest would go in and do this, and then he would finally go into the innermost place. You see, not everybody could go in at that time. But the exciting thing today is it says in the scripture that we can go with boldness to the throne of grace. We can reach all the way to God, and that's an amazing thing. God sent his power to the Israelites with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they knew that God was with them. Now, the interesting thing about this, a tabernacle is kind of a tent, which is a temporary dwelling place. It's a temporary dwelling place. And so there's a play on words there. To tabernacle with God is to be in his presence in the same tent. And yet the tent that they had was made of cloth and skins. And it would wear out, the tent that they carried with them through the desert. And so David decided to build a permanent structure, more permanent, with walls and rock and timber and things like that. And so he built a permanent structure where the Israelites could worship. And so he built that, but the problem was it wasn't permanent, was it? Because that first temple, the Solomon's temple, was destroyed and taken away. And Israel, I wonder during that time whether they felt a sense of loneliness or a sense of emptiness. Because for them, that was the presence of God. And when they went to worship, they worshiped in the presence of God. And so that tabernacle or that temple was taken away. Then they built another temple 70 years later, smaller. In fact, it was so small and insignificant compared to the first temple. The people that remembered the first temple were in tears because it was so insignificant. And yet God said that this temple, this new temple that you've built, will have a glory that outshines the previous temple. How did that temple outshine the previous temple? Anyone know? How did it have a greater glory than the previous temple? Because Jesus came to that temple. And then each year the Israelites would have, I mentioned the Feast of Tabernacles, and each year the Israelites would go into it was a week-long festival, as I understand it, and they would come and they would build a little temporary dwelling. And they would live in that temporary dwelling for a week. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles. And it has a lot of meanings. But that temporary dwelling is because, in one sense of the word, is that we live in temporary suits, don't we? How long will we live? We're not going to live the 969 years that Methuselah lived. In fact, I'm feeling old right now. Not too old, though. But we're not going to live forever in this temporary thing. And so we want a more permanent dwelling place. And so the temporary points to the permanent. They had a temporary covering, but it pointed to the permanent permanent relationship with God. And so you see how it plays on these words and putting all these ideas together as we think about this dwelling place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul focuses on this idea of a temporary and permanent dwelling. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. He throws out the old tabernacle, he throws out the old temple, and he looks to something more. He throws out our temporary dwelling and looks for something more that is in heaven being prepared for us. And while we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because we know, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Kind of an interesting concept or idea there thrown in. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but we wish to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life. Now, the picture is that when we die, we're in the grave. And we will be called up. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, as those that have no hope. But the trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so what happens to this when that whatever God resurrects, he clothes it in glory. He clothes it in an eternal tent that can never die. That's what he does. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. This temporary thing that has all these aches and pains and sufferings and sorrows will be gone, and we will have a permanent dwelling. Not alone, but with God. Eternal dwelling. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this purpose, notice that he fashioned us. He made us. It was his original intent for us to live forever. His original intent was our salvation and his glory being in us and us living together and walking with God forever. You go back to Eden, Adam walked with God. You go to eternity, we walk with God. And now we're kind of in between. But it was God's purpose that we should walk. Who hath given us the Spirit as a deposit? The Holy Spirit is kind of like a down payment or a deposit on this. And when we have God's Spirit living inside of us, when we have God's Spirit moving in us and controlling us, that's the down payment for that house. You know, whenever you buy a new house, you put down the down payment, earnest money, that you're really serious about this. The down payment for us is God's Spirit living inside of us. And we have that promise inside of us. The guaranteeing what is to come. Verse 6, therefore we will always be confident and know that as long as we are in the home of this body, we're not quite there yet. We're away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We're confident to say that we would prefer to be away from this body and at home with the Lord. When we die, the next thing we will know is eternity with Jesus Christ. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things we've done in this body. Remember that, you know, when you do that sin, when you do the crime, you may have to pay the time. Right? God is not mocked. We sometimes think, well, God just doesn't care, but He does. And when we sin in this body, we need to find a way of forgiveness, or we will pay for the crime that we do against God. 1 Corinthians 15, that was 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die, but we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable must clothe, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and this mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, in other words, perishable means it can vanish or decay or whatever. Imperishable means it can. And the mortal with immortality, then we will, then will the saying be written, or that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so we can put on this new clothing, this new tent. Now, there are, in the Old Testament, they had the temple, and you had to go there, and the glory of God was there, but you couldn't quite get in, you know, that was all there. But now we have a new tabernacle, a new presence, a new confidence in God. For in Matthew chapter, we're going to tabernacle, God tabernacling with us in Jesus. He first tabernacles with us in Jesus. And it says, and she shall give birth in 21. You have these in your notes, so I hope you're following along. If you don't have a bulletin, go grab one in the back there. But it says, and she shall give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he saves his people from their sins. You see, the problem that separated us from God was what? Sin. And how do we get back to where God is close to us again? We get our sins forgiven. We get our stony old heart that wouldn't serve God transformed in a new heart that can be receptive to God. We get our old clothes that were nasty and dirty and showed all the spots. We get a new set of clothes because we're living in the righteousness, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And all this took place, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill the word that said through the prophet, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall will call his name Emmanuel. That's a Hebrew word, Emmanuel, which means God with us. How do you get to God? The only way you get there is through Jesus. How do you have the presence of God? The only way you have his presence is in Jesus. The only way you can know God, the only way you can touch God, the only way you can talk to God is by Jesus coming in to our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1 says, in time past, or in past, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, who is it? God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After that he had provided the purification of our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so Jesus is God speaking to us today. You want to hear the voice of God? You have to first hear the voice of Jesus. You have to hear what he says, because he and the Father are connected. He's speaking in behalf of the Father. He's speaking for the Father. He is representing the Father. And so when he says, when you hear my words, you're hearing the Father's words and his righteousness and his glory. The law came through Moses, but glory and grace came through Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord that was in the temple was the glory of the Lord that walked on earth. You see, when you see Jesus, you're seeing the Father. You're seeing his glory, his brightness, his perfection. When you see Jesus. Jesus said, in chapter 15, he says, abide in me. Chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Now, you see, we went from the tabernacle way back when to something happening right now. And that is God tabernacling with us through Jesus. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing of spiritual consequence. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they be burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, when we tabernacle with God, we have God as our Father, and we can speak to him directly. We can come with boldness to the throne of grace. He is our Father, our loving Father, that holds us and cares for us, who protects us and guides us and guards us, who's watching out for us. Do you have that relationship with God where you can cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father? Is he right here, right now, with you? Do you feel his presence? Do you know his person? Have you accepted him as your God? Not the God that your parents had, and that was the same God, but the God that you have, the God that you possess, the God that you know. Because knowing God isn't something you inherit, it's something you live, it's something you do. And that God is the Almighty God. That God can do anything. That God can change anything. That God can make all things brand new. He can fill your heart with a joy that you have never known. And if, you know, there's a verse that I just kind of came to my mind. I can't get to quite the whole verse, but it talks about, unless the promise of God be, that you fall short of the promise of God. The promise of God is there, and we don't want to come short. And if you feel like you're coming short, it's time to get to your knees and get right with God. God tabernacles with His people. He's wanted it. He longs for it. He has longed for it. You know that father and that son, whenever the son went off and he did all the wrong things and disobeyed his father and disgraced his family. And the father, what was he doing all that time? He was waiting and longing and looking for his son to come home. And God looks for His people. He wants the tabernacle. You remember the two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they were having a supper. And Martha was busy doing everything, making sure the dishes were set and the candles were lit or whatever they did it back then, making sure the roast beef was just right. And she says to Jesus, "Jesus, now Mary's just sitting there. She's not doing anything." And she was just sitting at the feet, listening to Jesus, honoring Him, listening and worshiping Him. And He says she has chosen the better part. So many times in our religious hubbub, we get busy with this and focused on that, and we get this kind of doctrine going through one side of our head and the other kind of doctrine going, and we get all this stuff and we miss the point. The point is to be with Jesus. The point is to know Him. This is truth, that you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That you know Him not just in head knowledge, but in knowing Him personally, intimately, having connection with Him. And He calls His children to come home. Everyone that's gone, if you're thirsty, come to Me and I will give you rest. If you're hungry, come to Me and you will find good food. Why do you want to live in a parched desert when you can have the joy and love of Jesus Christ? We can have that tabernacle time with God through Jesus, and we can have that tabernacle time with God. When He was personally walking around on earth, but when he left us with a promise of another comforter. In John 14, verse 15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate or comforter to be with you, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be with you." You know, whenever you can't make it to church, whenever you're sick or tired or lonely, whenever you can't be at church, you have that other comforter. You have that other hope, a person in the deepest, darkest dungeon, a person that is far, far away from everything, they can have the Spirit of God living inside of them. I will not leave you orphans without parents. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, Jesus speaking, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's a three-package deal. We get the Father. We get the fullness of the Son. And all that lives in the Holy Spirit dwelling in us today. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved of my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. And then it goes on to say, and Jesus replied, verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our tabernacle home with them. God with us. God with us. He ends that by saying, and my peace I will leave with you. You know, if you know the Father, if you know the Son, if you have the Holy Spirit with the Father and Son in it, working in you, you can have peace that passes all understanding. Is your life kind of messed up? Are you anxious? Are you having lack of peace? He says, peace I will give to you. And we can have this tabernacling with God forever. That's the amazing thing. That it doesn't just stop or just come for a minute or an hour. It comes forever. Look what John says in writes of the words of Jesus, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Many tabernacles, many permanent homes. In my Father's house, there's many, many places. There's lots of room. There's plenty of room and everything else to go with it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare, Jesus is gone, right? He went back to heaven. They saw him rise. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Tabernacling with God forever. And then the verse we started with, only I'm going to read a few more with it because it kind of puts a beautiful closing on this idea. And this is the hope of the Christian. If you know Christ, this is your hope and your promise from God. And it said, and then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Won't be this old polluted mess we got right now. Death and sorrow and suffering. It's a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. And there are no more, and there was no longer any sea. See, to them, the sea represented chaos and danger. So there won't be any more chaos and danger. No more sea, maybe literally too. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard the voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among his people. God, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he himself will be their God, and they will be his people. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying or pain, for the older things are passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he said, write this down, for these words are truthful and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And those who are victorious will inherit this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. You want the ultimate. You know, everybody wants to go to Disneyland. How many want to go to Disneyland? I see a few. Everybody wants to go to a Twins game. How many want to go to a Twins game? Hey, if the Twins were in the World Series, wouldn't that be cool? And would you want to go? If you had a free ticket. Box ticket. Huh? There you go. Okay, I finally found something that they bite on. You're right, Tim. I'm throwing something out, see if we can get a bite. I can promise you, I can guarantee you, according to this book, that there is no trip, no vacation, no place, no event, no destination that will compare the glory of tabernacling with God forever. And he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we will fall into his loving arms and have that beauty and peace forever. God bless you. Let's close with a song. Number 356, we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Only we're going to stand up to sit. So let's stand up and sing. 356. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place so near and precious, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would long to be